so I built this for Sherman's birthday. Happy birthday, Sherman.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Peabody. Well, what is it?
Well, actually, it's a time machine. I call it a Wayback. We just set it, turn it on, open the door, and there we are. Or were, really.
And here we are at Game Store Profits. I am your host, Jeff Romo. And this is the place where we talk about God, gaming, and groups. It's episode 187, and if you think I'm by myself, you're crazy. Because I am joined by the estimable Daniel Fisher.
Hello!
And the collegic T.R. Knight.
Hello.
I like that studious tone. That's nice. And we are here to talk games. We're talking about God. We're talking about the way these things intersect in our lives. And more importantly, we're here just to chat. So the call that we have usually during the week as we build up to this is usually a discussion about topics, you know, wide ranges of topics, that sort of thing. And the one that came up was something that's pretty close to all our hearts. It's a sensitive topic for one of our number, but I think we will discuss it a little bit more in depth as we go around the table and find out how folks are doing. So, Daniel, let's start with you, and okay. Then we'll go to TR.
All right. So, let's see here, guys. We have been discussing families and what it means to us, the games that we used to play, and how that's affected us. And, you know, for me, the thing that, I played a lot of as a child, and you will realize my hate of, was Monopoly. Monopoly. I also played a lot of Clue with my family, Yahtzee, and chess. And those games are dear to my heart. But Monopoly, I could just throw that out the window right now.
Get rid of it. It's out right now.
Yes, yes. But no, seriously, like, my family would... So I grew up with my grandmother, and tell you a little bit about that. I lived with her until I was about 14 years old, and she could not read or write. So she didn't play games. That's it. She didn't go outside and play with me. She cooked. She cleaned. She talked to me. She played Bible audio for me when I was a little kid. And, on those rare occasions where I got to play games, this is where my love of games come from. I got to play games with my mom, my stepdad, and my two uncles. And, you know, one of the games that we played a lot of was Monopoly. I was that kid. If you ever see me post that video while Monopoly was horrible and little Timmy is out and he just sits there, that was me. That's why I hate Monopoly. We played a lot of Clue. Clue is still one of my favorite board games. I know it's, a very flat game as far as, you know, it's just really simple. The Yahtzee, though, Yahtzee's one that I still play.
Well, you already, right before the call, you said that you were a Yahtzee beast.
Yeah, so, like, if you ever get me on, like, Friends with Dice and stuff like that, I will destroy you. I'm just telling, I'm being honest.
And they call it Friends with Dice? Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I have, like, this whole thing in my head of how I play the game. I play it to win it. I don't play it for enjoyment. So because you got to realize, I grew up playing this with adults. And anybody that really knows what Yahtzee is a game that's derived from a thing called poker dice. So there used to, and they still make them. There used to be these dice that had different poker cards on the faces of them, and you pretty much played it like you would play Yahtzee. Now, the issue was that when poker got to be looking bad, everybody's like, nobody wants to play poker. It's evil. It's the devil's game. It's gambling. Poker dice went out the window as well. So that's when they invented Yahtzee. So, and Yahtzee took over for poker dice, but yeah, I'll destroy you. Anyway.
So you're talking about the group of elderly gentlemen down the corner when I was a kid. They kept wanting to play Yahtzee with me, and they kept telling me to bring my money. So now I know why.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and then chess for me growing up was Mom loved chess. My mother loved it, and so did my uncle, Howard. I had two uncles. One's name's Wendell, and one's name's Howard. And so Howard had taught Mom how to play chess when she was a little kid. Mom taught me how to play chess, and I would play chess with both of them. And that's just still one of the, I mean, that's like one of my most expensive pieces of furniture was when we bought this house for Father's Day, my wife bought me this really nice chess table. And I mean, as far as it being a little table, that's why it's the most expensive piece of furniture I have. But yeah, that's, I love chess. I love Yahtzee. I'm getting ready to go on a Boy Scout trip. And one of the games that I will take with me is a small magnetic chessboard because anybody can play chess. I'll teach them to play chess over the weekend.
As long as you're not bringing Yahtzee, because I think somehow that's going to cause some problems.
Actually, I will have a copy of Yahtzee with me as well. I'll have my travel game box, which has probably close to 100 games in it.
Somebody needs to stop that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Well, you, all right, Daniel.
He jumped right into the topic.
You played our hand, okay? This was a trick-taking game, you basically took all the tricks and laid them out on the table.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not even right. It's fine. It's cool. But now I've got a tail hook and the idea that we're basically within the realm. We've descended the stairs into the chamber that is the archive dive.
And listen, okay, I'm going to apologize. I've had
a rough
week,
to say you're
guys.
Sorry to me. You can forget
TR that. Knows I'm getting ready to die. This house is falling apart on me. Oh, I'm infected with a mold fungus. I've been moved to a new room of the house, and it's just horrible. And anyway, seriously though, in the internet world, I will tell you now, pray for me. I have anxiety disorder. I take medication for it, but I've literally been running on a panic attack for the last 2 days, and it's not been great at all. And it's the first panic attack I've had in months. And it's not good.
No, we can definitely raise that up for prayer.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I'm calling for the whole internet to pray for me, all 7 billion people.
That's a lot of internet.
Yeah.
It's a lot of internet. Yeah, it's a lot of interwebs. Yeah.
That's a lot of internet.
Well, and the topic really, and I know I've been a little bit quiet, I'm a little bit more solemn than I normally am, just because for those of you who follow me either on Twitter or Facebook, you'll know that about a month and a half ago, my grandfather passed away, and just last week, my grandmother passed away. So within a month and a half of each other, my final two grandparents passed away. And that's where this topic came from for me, and kind of the slide into the archive dive, and the topic we're going to talk about afterward was the idea of, as I was thinking back, because I want this to be a joyous time. Both my grandparents were strong Christians. My grandfather was a pastor, and my grandma was a pastor's wife. Amazing how that works. And the idea was, I kept thinking back, what are all my favorite memories? And favorite memories were getting absolutely stomped by my pastoral grandfather, who was the best horse pig basketball player you've ever played with, who could play ping pong, and no matter how hard I slammed the ping pong, he would just knock it right back and just casually do it until you tired and passed out on the other side of the table. But my grandma, and this is where the conversation comes from, my grandma and my parents, a lot of board games. And so for Archive Dive, what we talked about doing was reflecting on games we played growing up with our grandparents and our parents as part of this idea that it's some of our fond memories. It's how we've built these relationships. So for me, I played some chess, but not really. The games I played the most, I played Rummy so much. And not Gin Rummy, just straight 500 Rummy. And I would play that and play that and play that and lose and lose and lose to my grandma over and over. But she always had Oreos, so it was okay. And
well, yeah, I never learned how to play Rummy. I never learned how to play those card games like that.
It kills
my wife because she wants to play. I'm like, let's play Scythe. She's like, no.
But no, I played Rummy with my grandparents. Rummy Cube was a big one that my grandma that just passed away recently. Big game. And then with my parents, I've played Rummy Cube, Waterworks, and a lot of Euchre. And I always find it interesting that I have such fond memories of all those game times. Even though they're games that, now, I still am a huge fan of Euchre. I'll play Euchre whenever I get a chance. But most of those games, I don't play as much, but I have such fond memories of them. And it's because I was playing them with my grandma. Or I was playing it with my grandma and my mom and my aunts at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Rummy Cube would come out at every holiday. So we'd play Rummy Cube a lot. Waterworks is one of the ways I got to know my stepdad. which was a big deal for me growing up, was getting to know him as a game he enjoyed, and electronic football. And
oh man,
hey, that's coming back out. We could talk about that later. And then The idea was, though, for me, it was always about, like we talked about with role playing too, the whole food, fellowship, and fun. That was the same thing for me growing up with board games. It was always food. So it was Thanksgiving, it was Christmas, it was Easter. I was just there for the weekend staying with my grandparents. Always all the good food and all the baked goods. And then some board game or card game would come on the table. And then you're laughing for the evening. And I have all these fond memories of that. I have lots of other memories, but it was just one of the things that really got my attention was, what is one of the things I remember? And it was always sitting around the table with either a game or sometimes a puzzle. And it was an excuse to talk to each other. Like, we talk about doing it with role-playing games. Board game and card games gave a reason for me to sit across the table from my grandma. Mm-hmm. Instead of just watching TV or running around outside playing by myself, it gave us intimate time to be together, that whole fellowship concept. So for me, reflecting back on the recent funerals, it's really realizing the memories I have of my grandparents. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about in the podcast. It was my idea for the topic was, what are our memories of our parents and grandparents growing up? And for those who are still younger or still playing games with their grandparents and parents, how do we encourage that as a way to build relationships and memories? So how about you, Jeff? What's your archive dive of the old games?
Well, you know, there's a couple. One, I'll go to card game, Canasta. My grandma and her sister, my Aunt Jo, would...
We'd play the pinochle.
We'd play Canasta. And the thing that sticks out about these little card games is that, you know, my mom worked a lot of hours. And I've mentioned on the podcast before, I was one of the latchkey kids from the last, from the 80s and the 90s. Through the 80s, I should say. And the cool thing about those memories is that those were the days where, you know, my mom would have a little bit of time. She'd be able to pick me up, and then she'd drop me off with my grandma, and then my aunt would be there. And we would sit around these old TV trays, and they would have them in the living room. And my grandma, God bless her, she smoked like a chimney. So the whole time the place smelled like her perfume and cigarette smoke. And the cards that we would play with were like kind of yellow, dingy, you know, they kind of had the foxed edges and stuff like that. But you knew this was in a smoker's house, right? These cards, you know, they didn't fit in the box anymore because of how much, you know, we'll call it patina was on the cover of the face of each card, right? And so, you know, we'd sit there and we would play. And I remember the sound of the tin metal of the TV tray as they would lay cards down and how they would talk, and they would share old memories of my mom. And then ever so often, we'd have the TV on in the background. And I remember my grandma saying, Jeffrey, look at the TV. They're making dinosaurs walk again. And I would look, and there'd be like Godzilla would be on the afternoon film, right? You know, some old 50s thing. And she'd say, how are they doing that? And I said, Grandma, that's just a movie. She'd say, no, that's real. And she's looking at it, just fascinated. And gosh, those memories were great. And they were so ingrained in me in playing those games that I would, years later, I would be playing role-playing games, and I would go to my buddy's house, and they were smoking like there was no tomorrow. And I would sit there and I would smell that smoke. And then I would, in my memory, smell my grandma's perfume. And it would make me laugh, you know, because I would remember those days. I would remember those fun days when I would be there. And I think the big memory trigger for that, and the positive memory trigger for that with my grandma was the idea that it's a good home feeling. And, you know, I lost my grandma when I was, I think I was 10 or 11 when she passed. So, I was about 8 years old when she passed. And the interesting thing about it is that those were the memories that I held on to. Towards the end, she wasn't doing really well with her health and her mental condition, and it was hard as a young kid to kind of see that, and I didn't reconcile with what those memories represented until many years later. especially dealing with my mom now. And, you know, for all the kind of scary things that an 8-year-old sees when an elder is on the decline, that actually doesn't even rank as the top 10 memories of my grandma. You know, that my top 10 memories involve, you know, playing those games, her making some crazy lunch or something from back home, and then, you know, driving around in her old green, just big giant green Pontiac Le Mans, just tooling around town, not realizing how dangerous a situation I was in because she should not have been driving. But it just brings you back, right? It brings you back to those memories. So I think the cool thing too with this, you know, we can kind of emerge from the archive here a little bit. I think the cool thing about these memories is that it's a positive lasting image that sticks in your mind, and I think it actually kind of geared me towards my like of games, my love of games later on. So,
well, I think same with me. It's like I look at those games and I realize one of the biggest reasons I love games today and then wanted to play them with my kids and everything is because my parents played games with me, my grandparents played games with me, my grandparents now play games with, you know, or my parents play with my kids, you know, so it's the same idea. Games are a way we sit around a table and chat, and it's a wonderful thing.
Let me ask you this, though. Has the physical copy of the game itself, like, okay, for instance, my wife is on this big minimalist kick right now, and every time she brings it up, she looks at my game rack. Okay, I'm like, no, you're not touching any of those games. She's like, why do we own 4 copies of Monopoly and you hate Monopoly? I'm like, well, there's people that I do events for that love Monopoly. And I'm like, but one of those copies of Monopoly is the original copy of Monopoly I played as a child. And the box is torn. It's taped together with masking tape, but I still don't want to get rid of it. Even though I hate the game itself, I still don't want to get rid of it. And she's like, well, just throw it away. You've got a new copy. You've got 3 new copies. Well, I've got a Star Wars Monopoly, and my son's got the Stranger Things Monopoly, and we got.
I would think that you would probably get rid of the newer versions of Monopoly before you would get rid of the first one, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's like it. That's like if I still had that old smoky deck of cards from my grandma's house, I would be treasuring those things, and I have no idea where they are. They're long gone to the annals of history.
Well, I remember having such good memories of a lot of these games. I bought my own copies. You know, when I was finally out on my own, I had to have my own Rummy Cube. I had to have my own, you know, copy of Waterworks when I found it. I was like, oh, Waterworks, man. I don't play it that often, but I have my own copy. And so, yeah, it's the same. It's interesting where our memories come from. I mean, like you, I've got lots of other memories of my grandparents, like picking cherries off my Grandma Ruby's cherry tree, going fishing with my grandfather Thomas. We did weekly. I mean, I have all these other memories, but just, you know, related to our podcast is that it's amazing how many of the memories do have games in them and how it changed my life to be a gamer, how it's affected my daughter's lives to the point they love games. And it's just interesting. And I know not everybody's that way. I mean, all of our listeners, if they're listening to the podcast, they probably like games. But many of them probably didn't play with their grandparents or their parents. Maybe someone would like to play games with their parents and grandparents more, and they don't want to play Monopoly, and they don't want to play Yahtzee. They're like, well, you know, I have all these really cool games on my shelf. How do I get my parents or grandparents to play them? You know, I want to create those memories, but I just don't want to play Phase 10 again.
I love Phase 10.
I'm one of those people. So I guess kind of making that shift a little bit, you know, we've been talking about our memories, and one of the things I've been doing is, you know, how do I share games with my kids? You know, as they were getting older, you know, you started out with the Hangman and Battleship and Connect 4, and I slowly built them up to more modern games.
Right.
And even my parents, I've done that. My grandparents, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, you like playing Euchre. You love playing Hearts. Hey, let's try to play this game called Diamonds. You know, Diamond, it's about trick-taking. You know how to do this. I know there's these little crystals involved now, but it's just trick-taking. It's partners. You play with partners best. And I found that trying to find experiences that they've had, like you said, liking Yahtzee, liking playing cards or Canasta, it's when you can find those games that are similar to games they already like it's easy to get them to give a shot at a new game. And so I think what I'd like us to talk about is how do we encourage our listeners to play more games with their parents and their grandparents or their aunts and uncles or other family members? Or if they have kids, how do they get their kids to enjoy games without forcing games on them? You know, no reaching over and grabbing Scythe or Terraforming Mars and tossing it on the table with your 8-year-old. Or taking your 80-year-old grandma and going, I'm pretty sure she wants to play Star Trek Ascendancy.
Well, like for me, for instance, okay, so like a few years ago, I picked up King's Gold. It's a blue-orange game. 5 dice, you roll certain images on the dice, and you get a certain amount of gold. And so one of the first things I did was I taught it to my son. At the time, he was like 5. And it was like Monopoly, or not Monopoly, but Yahtzee. So I took it over to Mom's and said, hey, you're going to watch Andrew today, right? And she's like, yeah, well, play this game with him. He really likes it. And I explained it to her, and I sat down and showed her how to play. And, like, for 2-3 months straight, she's like, can we borrow that game? Can we borrow that game? And I was like, sure. And, you know, she'll come by and borrow games from me now.
That's cool.
Instead of me borrowing them from her.
Well, and even that way, my parents will ask my daughters, hey, bring a game when we go camping. You know, so it's not just now bring movies, it's also bring Sorrow, because they fell in love with Sorrow, T-S-U-R-O. It's a fun, just play a tile move. It's really easy to learn, then you have to learn the strategies. But it's fun to same idea. My parents are like, hey, can we play Sorrow again? Or, you know, we play Diamonds. There's another game that we like playing that we're trying to get them into, which is... Sagrada, I want to show them because they love the idea of stained glass windows and everything. And Yahtzee-esque, it's rolling dice and picking them in patterns.
Right.
So I want to take Sagrada to my parents and my in-laws and say, you know how much you love stained glass windows in churches? Yeah, well, there's this game that's kind of like Yahtzee and stained glass had a child. You know, it's like, so let's try this game. And where if I tried to pull a game off the shelf, like worker placement, my parents would be like, what's a worker placement? You know,
yeah.
If I walked up and said area control to my grandparents when they were still alive, they'd be like, wait, area control? Is that like our yard? It's like, is that the dog? Because he kind of protects his area where he is.
Yeah. Area protection.
Think about this. These
words Grandpa,
use...
don't do that to the board. No, no.
Yeah. But think about it. The words we use because we're serious gamers and the games we think are casual are completely different. I mean, forget the whole idea of gateway games. I'm not even talking.
Right.
I'm just talking the idea of how do you take someone, like you said, who's never played what we would call a hobby game and transition them from playing Payday, Sorry, Aggravation, Chess, and make those transitions to other kind of games that you enjoy.
Well, I mean, like, you know, the whole Monopoly thing. Mom still was like, hey, let's play Monopoly. I introduced her to, oh, my Lord, I can't remember that.
Lords of Vegas?
Game. No, train game.
What, Ticket to Ride?
Yes, my brain is not working today, guys. But, yeah, I introduced her to Ticket to Ride. And, you know, and that's one of my daughter's favorite games now. So she'll take it over to play with her grandma.
Yep. Now, the other thing I want to say as a caveat to that, before we even get into more games to share, is if there is a game that your family enjoy, now, I struggle. Phase 10 is one I just can't do anymore because it upsets me. I've decided Phase 10 means that's how many years between games. And, but if you pull out Rummy Cube, I'll play Rummy Cube. If they pull out Upwards, which is like a word game similar to Scrabble, I'll play Upwards. I'll play Rummy. I will play Crazy Eights. I'll play Hearts. I'll play Euchre whenever you get a chance because I'm from Indiana, and I'll play Euchre. But the idea is if there are games, Yahtzee, I'll still play Monopoly as long as we all agree on the rules we're playing. But that's the idea is just because there are games we love a whole lot more, if there's a game our grandma, grandpa, aunt and uncle, or parents really like to play, enjoy the game with them. Sit down. Have a good time. You know, especially if it's a short game, you can survive it. Enjoy the Oreos.
Yeah, I was about to say, bring your sleeve of Oreos.
So if I get my Oreos or my 7-layer cookies, I'm set.
Yeah, you're all set. And I think what's really nice about that And because we're talking about that connection with parents or grandparents or, you know, aunts and uncles, that sort of thing, it's because you kind of, you know, those people a little bit more than the average bear, right? You've been around them either your whole life or part of your life. And I think what's kind of cool is you can reach back into that relationship and really find a game that can be tailored towards that. You know, like you said, making that transition from Monopoly to Ticket to Ride. Right, you know, Daniel, that's a good one. Transitioning from games like Rummy Cube or something to Diamonds, or I think you actually had another cool suggestion here. You mentioned Five Cucumbers or Sushi Go,
yeah,
or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Sushi Go is good.
You know, it's something that's just kind of cool to lay out there. You don't gotta spend a million years trying to figure out what the rules are, that sort of thing. And especially if it's something that you know that you guys have connected with before. The cool thing about this, the coolest thing that I saw was that, and unfortunately I didn't get a chance to do this with my grandparents, the cool thing that I see from this is that you're able to kind of reciprocate that love, right? You know, they shared with you this game that they really treasure, right? And they see this as a way to connect, and you're responding by saying, hey, you know what? I want to connect the same way. Here's some of the things that I enjoy. And I think that speaks volumes to building that relationship and continuing to build that relationship, continuing to have those opportunities to share wisdom, you know, whether it's, you know, it's over a game of Sushi Go or even Monopoly, Daniel, even that.
Yeah.
Not Yahtzee with you, because I don't want, you know, you're probably a little too aggressive. I'm getting that sense.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm getting that sense. But, yeah, you get that opportunity to share. And I think that's a fantastic thing.
Well, and I think we always talk about this. The greatest thing about games is relationships.
Right.
We've Absolutely. Said this on other of the podcasts. We say it in our different social medias, and too. And I say it even with my classes when I talk about gaming. The whole idea that you're designing a game, unless it's a solo game, the purpose of it is relationships. Whether it's right. a two-person game or a 12-person game, it's all about being together playing a game. And if that's a way that we can spend time with our family, especially our parents and our grandparents, which is what I've been thinking about a lot recently, that's a big deal. If it's, I always kind of joke and tell people, it's like, I like games, I do. And when I was younger, I was way more competitive. And I admit that. I was overly competitive when I was younger. Now, the whole reason I play a game is so I can be around a table with people. I'm fine if the 4 hours we have set aside to play the game, if we're lucky to get 30 minutes of a game in.
I'm happy to lose if I get to play a game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, except if I just talk.
Yahtzee.
Yeah, so it's Yahtzee, you'll never lose. We're okay.
Yeah, that's right. Let the Daniel win. So the great thing about this, too, is the... Golly, I look forward to it so much, right? There's sometimes when I remember as a kid... when, you know, as you have child memory, you don't remember a lot of the things that happen. You don't engage with it as you normally would. But I remember the times when I did, I would look so forward to going and visiting grandma, because I knew we would play games. We'd play with her yellow cards and we would have fun. And it was, those are the things that when you're engaging with your family, you build and foster those positive memories with your family. I'll use an example with my mom. Folks who listen to the show regularly know that my mom is going through early onset, or not early onset, but in the beginning stages of dementia. And over the course of my lifetime, we haven't had the best relationship. You know, it's been pretty tough sometimes, but I can trace back to the positive memories in our relationship centered around games. Whether it was Monopoly, you know, we would bring in, you know, her mom, my grandma, or my aunt, or maybe a neighbor, we would play Monopoly. Or I remember sitting down and playing on the old Atari 2600 and playing games like Space Invaders or Defender or Mega Mania, you know, or
my mom
Joust.
Destroyed me, yeah, in Yar's Revenge. I never could beat my mother in Yar's Revenge.
Yeah, I could never beat my mom in Mega Mania. It was insane. She had the world's worst reflexes, but somehow she was able to beat me in Mega Mania.
Same way for me.
And so many years later, okay, you know, flash forward, you know, that's back, you know, when I'm like 10 years old, 11 years old, you know, whenever that the space age of Atari 2600 was. And, you know, flash forward to now, and our relationship in some days, most days, could not be worse, right? You know, her memory is constantly focused on the idea that I'm the demon son that put her into the nursing home where she doesn't belong. And however, she mentioned, and we were talking about this a little bit before, the reason why I brought up video games, she mentioned, hey, you remember that time when I would never let you win at Mega Mania? And I was like, oh yeah, you never let me win. And we ended up picking up this, or I picked up this, I don't know if you guys have seen those compilation games for Atari 2600. Yeah. Yes. It's like a little fake box, and it has basically all 180 games that ever
I have one of those
released. Yeah. I went and picked it up, jacked it into her TV at the nursing home, and we played. And we had a pleasant afternoon, right? And it calls back to those memories that we founded together, and the times when we would be playing these games, and she'd tell me about her dad, that, you know, he passed away when she was 13, but she would tell me about times on the farm, and she would, you know, tell me stories about her childhood and hanging out with her friend. She had like one friend. She keeps reminding me she had one friend that she could trust when she was young. And so I heard all about this friend, and it just captures those good memories. And like I said, it's something that I can hold up as a bulwark against the stronghold that is the bad relationship, right? I can say, you know what? I counter this wall with my canon of Mega Mania. And I will say that these are the memories that I choose to hold on to. And games are at the heart of it. They were at the heart of it.
Well, and I think, too, I can remember times when, you know, something going on in life, upset, mad. I remember when my parents got divorced, and during that time I spent some time at my grandparents and stuff, I had to go somewhere because my parents had to deal with things. And same thing. I'm in a terrible mood. I don't want to be there. I know there's stuff's going on. And grandma would grab a deck of cards and be like, hey, want to play some rummy? And you're like, no. Okay.
No, I don't. Wait, that's fun.
Yeah. It's like,
I want to complain. Let me complain.
Like, are there Oreos? Okay. But I mean, I do. Same thing is, I can remember when times where I'm like, I don't want to be here. I got dumped off here. You know, it's how you felt at the moment. And realize this is, I was in junior high at the time, but it was enough. You know, parents had to deal with something. You got to go stay somewhere right now. You can't be by yourself for a moment. And I remember that, but I also, you know, remember going to see my grandfather and go, he'd come pick me up on weekends or during the week we'd go fishing. But then other times when it was bad weather, he'd be like, want to play backgammon? Okay. Which is,
man,
one of my favorite games.
I haven't played that in years.
I want to learn to play that.
We would play backgammon on a rainy day that we couldn't go fishing together. And so that was fun. And it's, you know, those days that could have been disappointing, because I loved going fishing. I loved being outdoors with him and doing that. And he's like, well, let's play backgammon. And so from him and another gentleman from the school that had taught me, that's how I got to be very good at backgammon, was learning from my grandfather and a gentleman at church. And so, yeah, I can even see that too, when you'll take sometimes what are a bad memory, and this comes in to replace it as a, yeah, but I spent time with them doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm not quite at the turn yet, but I wanted to kind of like make just a little shift. So I'll throw a little curveball, but it's in the notes. I'm looking at our wonderful episode notes, and I'm going to connect.
Those are amazing, by the way.
They're amazing. They're just like, God bless you, TR Knight. God bless you. So amazing. So the concept that at the end of every, I'm thinking about this now because I'm recording some episodes of En-ROADS Plays. We're doing some audio only dramas for celebrating Dragon Heist, the D&D Dragon Heist. And at the end of episodes, and you can see this on YouTube, I'll always say, you know, hey, get out there and get your own table, make your own memories, make your own friends. And what I really like about this is the motivation to seek out this friendly audience, or in some case, you know, sometimes friendly audience, we'll call it that. Like in my case, sometimes they're friendly. But the idea that you're wanting to kind of reach out and make that happen. So, you know, in using some of the suggestions that we have here, what are some ways that we can explore you know, getting into games with our parents. You know, can we use these as bridge makers? You know, like, you know, for some folks who maybe don't engage with their parents very much, maybe this is an alternative method.
Well, I think there are a lot of different ways. Like we talked about earlier, finding games that they like, or had you remembered, like, especially if you haven't done it in a long time, you know, what was a game that they used to play when they were a kid? Or what was a game you played when you're younger and now you've gone off to college, you've been off doing other things, you're back, whatever. If there's been that break, remember the games you liked. So like we talked about earlier, the trick-taking games. There's lots of good trick-taking games. But I look at things, you know, chess and checkers are still very good games. You know, you can get a nice chess set. You can get thematic chess sets now. Shoot, I've got Princess Checkers.
I got Harry Potter.
But you could also do things like Onitama is an incredible game that's like a modified version of chess on a very small board. The Duke is modified chess. So you could sometimes go, hey, I have this great memory of playing chess. Or I remember you used to talk about playing chess with your dad. You know,
there you go.
Why don't we try this game here that's like chess, but it's different? You know, let's do different stuff. Or like dominoes. You know, everybody plays railroad dominoes or normal dominoes, different kind of dominoes. A game that I really enjoy playing is Quirkle. Quirkle is like almost a simplified version of dominoes. It's little colored tiles with shapes and colors on them. But it's the same idea that you have to keep the pattern going. Either the same color, same shapes. And so I often find that when I go to my parents or grandparents, it's like, hey, I know we like playing games. There's this other game I want to play, and it reminds me of playing this game with you. You know, or it reminds me of a game you used to talk about. Like, a good example, my mother-in-law is a cribbage player. I'm not going to play cribbage with her because I am positive I would get beaten horribly, even if she keeps asking.
I still don't understand it. I just think of hopscotch pegs. I'm like, what am I doing?
But here's what I'm saying this. She's a card counter, okay?
Oh, she's a cheater.
No.
I'm kidding.
She counts cards, loves cards. All you got to do for my mother-in-law is say, I have a card game I want you to try. It's a card. She likes Love Letter. She likes playing Flux. She's fallen in love with Diamonds. You know, you pull out a game that is card-based, and she wants to play it. And inevitably, by about the third round, you're losing. And
how does she feel about Vegas? I mean, I'm not saying Rain Man, but Rain Man.
Yeah. Just that idea that I know she likes card games. My stepdad, he loves football. He loves sports. So I picked up First and Goal, the dice game.
Nice. There you go.
And I picked it up specifically. Like, I didn't have it. I picked it up so I could play it with him. And so that's the fun of that is the whole purpose I got that game is so I could play sports ball games with my stepdad.
I'll tell you something funny, though. When I come back from a Gen Con, actually, no, this was a shipment to my house that a friend of mine sent me. I took over a little game called Luchador to my mom's. Now, see, the thing about
I wonder who
it,
sent that to you.
Yeah, I think it was a Mr. TR9 that did that one. So, but no, my stepdad was a professional wrestler in the 70s and early 80s. So, like, he didn't play, but he sat there and was like, you know, making these faces like, what are y'all doing? Because I had set up the little ring and I had the guys in the ring and we're sitting there rolling dice and mom was having a fun time out of it and he's just sitting there watching it, throwing all these looks over here. I mean, this, at the time, he was 76, so it's been about almost 2 years now, so he just turned 78. And he's just watching me roll these dice and it's like, yeah, I pinned you. All right, come on, let's see if I take you out and stuff like that. And he thought it was funny, but he wouldn't play it. He wasn't really one to play the games too much, other than the ones that mom made him play. He didn't play a lot of games. Now, he does play Yahtzee now, though. I mean, like, he straight up, like, they'll sit for hours in the evening and play Yahtzee.
And if that's the case, right now, there is a huge, huge push for roll and rights. There are so many roll and right games right now that are basically modern Yahtzee.
That's all Dice Throne is Yahtzee. And I've been trying to get mom to play it with me, but she's like, but it's got all these funny shapes on it.
I mean, you look at games like Steamroller is a roll and write. Clever is a roll and write. There's all these, what is it? Quinto is a roll and write. There's a ton. So if you have people who like Yahtzee, there's all these roll and write games. So instead of just playing Yahtzee, you can do Steamroller, which is Yahtzee with trains. Quinto is another one that has the patterns. Clever has patterns.
Craps is like dice with money. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, to be honest, we haven't said it. Poker is actually a very good game, and it's popular again. There's professional poker, and there's all different versions of poker.
Yeah, yeah.
There's even cockroach poker.
Oh, man. Seriously?
Yes.
All right, we need to talk after the podcast. So I purposely, maybe not artfully, manipulated you guys with that question. Because I wanted to get, to the topic of, you know, we have these methods of bringing up games with our grandparents and parents, right? All of the examples that you guys have provided come from the heart, right? And the only way that we know what kind of things to bring up for our parents is because we've given some attention to them. We've given some love to them. We've listened to, you know, our memories and what brought them joy, and we've honored them, right? So I think as part of this, I mean, and we do this with games all the time, right? We do this with games all the time. We bring out a game with a bunch of friends, and if we know these friends are not into like crunchy stuff, we're not gonna lay out Warhammer, right? We're not gonna do that.
But we could lay out Warhammer Monopoly.
We could do Warhammer Monopoly coming soon to a Warp store near you. We don't do that, right? We pay attention because we put the time in, we put the investment in with our friends, and that's no different than what we do. And on some level, should be doing with our parents. So kind of gravitating towards the turn here, I think the numero uno one that comes up with parents is one of the Ten Commandments, honoring thy father and thy mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land of the Lord your God, or in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So Deuteronomy 5:16. The concept of honoring thy mother and thy father is not just doing every single thing they say. You know, remember, parents are flawed humans just like you. They just have a little more wisdom, a little more experience, and more often than not, they love the heck out of you and they want what's best for you. But it's honoring them also means listening to them, like truly in your heart listening to them. And hearing and feeling what they love, right? You know, the kinds of food that they like. Not just because they cook it for you all the time or they whip out the Oreos every time, but it's just that either grandma completely does this just for TR, or she's got a thing for Oreos and always has them handy.
Oh, that was my grandpa.
Or your grandpa, sorry. Yeah. So I mean that it could be those things. But it's paying that honor by listening and caring and wanting to know, you know, what will bring them joy. So when you think of parents, you know, I'll throw it over to you, TR. What's something that comes to mind, you know, whether a passage or what does that make you think of?
Well, like you said, I mean, it's beyond, it's the game is a relationship or whatever we're doing together, is knowing things about your parents, your kids, your grandparents, your aunts and uncle that they like. It's no different than having a conversation with them. You know they have a passion for fishing. You know how they have a passion for old cars. My grandfather used to race alcohol racers. So I would sit for hours and watch races with him.
Yeah.
And so I fell in love, and I still to this day, I can identify most cars from the 50s, 60s, and 70s by their tails and stuff. Because of my grandfather. My grandmother loved to bake and do stuff like that. I love that. So you do get to know those things, and then you're like, wow, so I can start a conversation about that. Or I can bring that game because it's about that theme. Like I said, the football game for my stepdad. You know, I know he likes football. I'm going to play football with him. What movies we go see, we know they like. And especially as they get older, like my grandmother in her final years, she had Alzheimer's. So to be honest, for the last little bit, she often didn't know who I was. I'd have to reintroduce myself. But we talk about memories and stuff that matter. All you had to start doing with her was start singing a hymn or humming a hymn. She'll remember it. She could still play the piano or the keyboard. She could still sing the hymns, even when she had no idea who I was. My stepdad said that's what he'd often do when he'd go visit her. He would just sing with her because he used to sing. And so he would sit and sing songs with her when he'd go visit her. And so that was his memory. So, honestly, it was kind of a game. He would start humming some old hymn and to see if she would finish it. And so, yeah, like you're saying, it's this idea. And one of the scriptures that I think of when I look at this, especially when I think of the Alzheimer's, is Psalm 71, 9 to 24 is, do not cast me, Psalm 71, 9, and it's in that section. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Mm-hmm. And it's a much longer passage in that section. And I think that's one of those things is keep spending time with them and find those topics, whether it's playing a game or talking hymns with them or eating Oreos with them, talking about old fishing trips. It's just that idea to me is always find a reason to be together. If the game is the reason, great. If it's talking about, you know, Richard Petty and how he used to race in NASCAR, great. We'll keep talking about Richard Petty and his STP car. The idea is find a reason that you connect. You know, that topic, some reason, some memories, some past. If it can be a game, great. But if it can be racing, fishing, books, my grandfather's who introduced me all to the classics. He's the one that kept handing me Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, Robinson Crusoe. And then we'd sit and talk about him after I read him. So he goes, so what did you think about, you know, Friday in Robinson Crusoe? And you're like, what?
I haven't gotten that far. I don't know.
But the idea is, I think you always have to find that reason to spend with them. What about you, Daniel?
You've got me thinking. I have an estranged grandmother. I don't talk to her very much. And she just lives like 30 minutes from me. And a lot of it is because there's a lot of family drama. She's my last grandmother. I'm gonna have to reach out to her now because of this. I mean, there's a whole huge family history. The reason why we don't talk. And, you know, I have a grandfather. Her husband, I talk to her, more to her husband than I do her. And, I mean, he's the guy that taught me how to reload. Taught me how to shoot. Him and my dad, you know, and it's just, y'all are getting me in the feels tonight.
Well, and it's not, I know what you're talking about. I get huge, gigantic balls of anxiety, you know, the day that I know or the night before that I know that I'm going to go and visit my mom, right? I message you guys usually on the day that I'm going, just ask for prayers, right? That's my modus operandi. But you know, bringing up those silly games, you know, the ones that we connected with on a better level, you know, on a more positive level, you know, it helped. It helps kind of mitigate some of that. But you know, it's about connecting. And yeah, it is in some way, shape, or form about honoring them. It is some way, shape, and form about remembering them. But for situations where it's stressed, man, that's
yeah, it's rough. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of bad blood there, and it's my dad's mom, my real dad's mom. You know, he passed away 4 years ago. I'm the oldest. And one of the things was, I was born in 1978. And so I was born also out of wedlock when he was still in high school. He was, let's see here. He was one to his senior year. I was born right before his senior year started. And so like she didn't care. I mean, you know, and you know, for a while there, she did spend time with me up until I was about four until my little brother was born. And she just dropped me like a hot potato. And it was just one of those things. And didn't really have another relationship with her until I was probably about 22.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and then like when Dad died, I just, I mean, it's like I feel like I've lost nothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now y'all are just getting me, guys.
Well, and to be honest, not everyone has great relations with all their family.
Well, yeah.
I had a family that was very split with many divorces. So I admit that, too. I'm not saying that you can do this with all of your family. You're not going to have perfect memories and honoring everybody. Honoring and respecting doesn't necessarily mean that you are together all the time.
Right.
And so that's the hard thing. So this is a challenge. It is hard. But if that opportunity arises and there are ways you can create those memories and bridge those gaps, maybe games is a way to do even in the hard relationships. You know, like I'm going to be going to a reunion here soon with a bunch of people I don't know that well. But it's at a park and there's food. And so there's different ways that you can ease into relationships that have been strained for a long time. And sometimes maybe games is one of those.
Maybe, but I've never known.
Just don't play Yahtzee, games. Daniel.
Nah.
Please don't play Yahtzee. Please. No, it's a good point. I mean, it's not, this isn't obviously an end all be all. This isn't the,
it's not a panacea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. This is just something that we came together and we thought, you know what, as much as we talk about games forward and games now, you know, meeting new friends, that sort of thing, it was a nice reminder of how games have kind of impacted our relationship with our elders, with our parents or grandparents. And it's a foundation. Gosh, I don't want to say foundational. That makes it seem so dramatic. But it feeds into that foundational relationship we have, right? Because, again, we're connecting with the things that they like. We're respecting the things that they like and saying, hey, you know what? I want to take part in that. I want to thank you so much for the games that you taught me. Because look at what I've, you know, look at the games that I'm into now, that sort of thing. And you never know. I mean, these could be the bridge builders that help repair relationships. I'm interested to see where... this old, you know, Atari 2600 thing goes with my mom. Who knows what it'll bring. I, you know, the Lord knows, and he put that memory in her head for a reason, so I gotta kind of follow along with that. So there's a lot more room to talk about these things. You know, I mean, you know, TR, you've gone through a lot this last week and the last months, you know, dealing with the loss of your grandparents. It's not easy. I mean, I unfortunately don't have any surviving grandparents after my grandmother passed when I was 8. But, you know, I feel it every time as we get to this age. You know, we all around this little table here, we're all of that age where this is becoming more and more commonplace, right? You know, our grandparents are aging. My father-in-law, you know, he's aging and he's near the last few months of his life. And this is one of the things I would like to connect with him on. It's something I haven't connected with him on before, was games. And I know he's played before. We played one game before, and we played as a team, and it was Scrabble. And we were playing Tagalog Scrabble, because you know, my wife's family is Filipino, and he has some deep, deep Tagalog. I'm like, he knows some words that like his wife didn't know, all the kids didn't know. And
now I will cheat at that, by the way.
Oh yeah, and I know for sure he wasn't cheating because he had a Tagalog dictionary right there. He says, "Look, this is the name. Look at the names that I have." And he just puts them down, and it's right there. And I was like, "Oh, Pops, it's so good to be on your team." And he's like, "Oh, Jeff, you don't know." And so, you know, it was just a lot of fun to connect with him like that. So this makes me think that I want to do this more with him too. Spend more time with him. I mean, these are the last few months that I'll have that opportunity. And to be honest, I didn't have, you know, we're talking about divorces and stuff. I grew up without a father. You know, my mom and dad divorced when I was 3. The only memory I have of my father is playing launch pup with my dog and kicking him across the room. You know, that was my memory of him. And my father-in-law replaced that. You know, he replaced that with a positive influence. I'm watching a man who's exiting life with grace. And at the same time, you know, there's opportunities like this I could be using to play games. So, you know what, Daniel? I'm getting motivated likewise. That this is something that I can do to spend more time with them and gather wisdom and share love and share respect. It's nice.
And for me, this was cathartic because I didn't know what I fill up to doing the podcast, you know, what I want to talk about, the joy of games. But just being able to reflect back on my joyful memories made this worth it. It was kind of me honoring my grandparents passing, because they were my last grandparents. They're my step grandparents, because I'm the old person on the podcast, and
only just, by a few months.
Yeah, I know. But the idea is, this to me was good for me to think through this too. It was the nice time for me to go, why does this matter to me? You know, 'cause it's funny when you see these things, and my parents are getting older, my in-laws are getting older, and you start realizing things are important. And those of you know my wife's got MS. She has multiple sclerosis, so I even have to look at that kind of stuff. What's important? What do I do? What are my hobbies? And that I, with everything else I could be doing in life, that I still keep coming back to gaming is because of those happy relationships, even when there are strained relationships. So right.
That's an interesting point, that as we've gotten to this age, games have become less games. They've become less trivial. They've become that engagement point.
Yep.
Oh, that's so true. What an excellent point.
Oh yeah, it's not just the, hey, I want to win, I'm going to play this game.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. Yeah. Now, like, well, good example, I didn't have my gaming group this week, and I feel it when I miss a game time with my gaming group. It's a group of guys that get together with me. It's more like my small group.
Yeah.
I mean, we spend time having food, we spend time talking, and it's the same idea. It's that idea that we get together. And so, yeah, as I reflect on this, the games have become way more than just things to do.
Amen. You look forward to it, right?
Very much.
You have a rough day. I had a rough day. I look forward to seeing you two guys. Absolutely look forward to seeing you two guys.
I look forward all day today to this.
You learn as you get older that games grow beyond competitiveness and strategy to times that we cherish.
Amen to that. That's a great thing to share with a lot of people, is to say, look, you know, games, yeah, they're fun, they can be competitive, we can just do it just for the lark of it, but down in its bare bones, we use games to learn more about each other. We use games to be together, and to, I mean, heck, look at our ministry. We're using it to share the love of Christ, for Pete's sake. That's our whole thing. That's our jam. Here we are.
Very much so.
This has been a really cool episode. I know it feels like we've kind of meandered a little bit, but I feel like this has been, like you said, TR, a very nice catharsis for, I think, on some level for all of us. So thank you for this topic.
You're welcome.
Thank you for grabbing my heartstrings. Just
grabbing them and just pulling them and then saying, no Oreos for you. But thank you, Daniel, for sharing what you're going through as well.
Thank you. Thanks for praying for me, guys.
Hey, that's what this is all about. All right, our beautiful and wonderful audience and my fellow hosts, let's always remember this, that God is the game master. And no matter how the dice fall, game plays on.